Techonomics on KGO 810. From space travel to digging tunnels, Elon Musk seems to be constantly in motion. This week on Techonomics, host Jason Middleton has a New York Times best-selling author on to talk about his new biography about the Tesla and SpaceX CEO. The newest edition of Elon Musk's biography has to be updated quickly to match the magnate's efforts. And even still, SpaceX has announced it's going to start flying people to the moon. Also in this hour of Techonomics, we have entrepreneur and innovator Tara Reid, a former Microsoft engineer. Tara's newest project is called Building Apps Without Code. She wants to open up digital commerce for everybody. All that and a little more on this week's Techonomics, starting now on KGO 810.
You must be raving mad. We're on the air. Look, what's the idea? Come back here.
Hello and welcome to this week's edition of Techonomics. I am your host, Jason Middleton. For this week, we're going to double down with two guests that fit two different themes on this show. There's the get out of the Bay bubble and look at the real world theme. And then there's the occasional feature, This Week in Elon Musk. Oh, it's a copyrighted feature of this broadcast. We start with the only official biographer of Elon Musk. Musk, of course, is the CEO of Tesla, SpaceX, and SolarCity, and he made his first fortune by co-founding PayPal. And recently he got stuck in traffic, so now he wants to build a tunnel digging company as well. That's how quickly Mr. Musk moves. Ashley Vance's hardback edition of his biography, Elon Musk, Tesla, SpaceX, and the Quest for a Fantastic Future, is a New York Times bestseller. And the book comes highly recommended from the Wall Street Journal, as well as Amazon. But with Musk, a lot can happen in 18 months. So a well-warranted new paperback edition adds several new chapters to the story. And at 45 years old, Musk is likely to continue adding many, many chapters. Here's part one of our chat with Elon Musk's biographer.
Hi, I'm Ashley Vance. I'm a writer at Bloomberg Businessweek.
And you're also the author of Elon Musk, Tesla, SpaceX, and the Quest for a Fantastic Future. We had you on when it was out in hardcover. Now, since then, you've become a New York Times bestseller, and you've been named one of the best books of the year by the Wall Street Journal, NPR, Audible, and Amazon. Congratulations.
Thank you so much.
And now you're out in paperback, and we're going to get to that in just a second. But let's lead with the most recent news we have around Elon Musk and SpaceX, and that's that successful launch that recently happened. Please put SpaceX in context for us when it comes to Elon Musk's portfolio of companies. How much does he care about this one?
Absolutely. Well, it is probably his highest risk and arguably most successful venture that he's had. Of all of his companies, I would say SpaceX is his baby. He has a very odd life goal, which is to one day create a colony of people on Mars, and SpaceX is the way he's going to get there on those rockets. And so this is the company that kind of defines him in a lot of ways.
I'm glad to hear that is such an important thing for him, but he's not sitting on any kind of laurel at all. We still have Tesla to talk about. What is the state of Tesla right now, and is it getting his full attention?
It does. You know, he sort of splits his attention half and half between SpaceX and Tesla. So in one sense, no, but in the other sense, yes, he's there every day. And this year, 2017, is the make or break it moment for Tesla in a lot of ways. The company has been around for almost 15 years. It has always promised us that it was going to give the world a mainstream electric car that was fast and sexy and not some kind of compromise like all the stuff that had come before it. And it's been on this journey. You know, all the other Tesla cars so far have been very expensive and bought mostly by wealthy people. And now we're told that the Model 3 will arrive by the end of this year and cost $35,000. And there's huge questions about whether Tesla can manufacture this car with a high enough quality and volume to really become a mainstream car seller, and whether it can do that before it goes bankrupt, because it's spending a ton of money on battery factories and manufacturing facilities along the way. And so this is kind of when we find out if Tesla is a long-term real deal.
So when you think about the Gigafactory and Tesla, and then you think about the Gigafactory and SolarCity and any kind of synergy he can create there, I hope that buys him a little time to deliver on the Tesla Model 3, because I don't think Tesla's ever hit a production deadline or delivery date, has it? I mean, it's delayed gratification with Tesla.
Absolutely. Hitting deadlines is not Elon's forte. His cars have always been late, so they've had the Roadster, the Model S, which was a sedan, and the Model X, which is an SUV. They were all several years late. The Model 3 is already late, but Elon's promised that by the end of this year, they'll start arriving by the thousands, and there's hope that maybe they could arrive by the tens of thousands, although, yeah, history does not smile on that idea. But if he can, you know, the quicker he can get these cars out, the better for Tesla, because they still have a lead over all the major automakers who are coming with their own electric cars. And so this is a big deal for him to get everything in order. And then, as you mentioned, the Gigafactory is this huge battery factory in Nevada. And if that factory is sitting idle waiting for Tesla's cars, or the Tesla factory is sitting idle waiting for batteries, you know, the company is in huge financial distress. So all this stuff has to work together.
Yeah, the Gigafactory is American manufacturing jobs, which we know and have proven to show that they are multiplier jobs. And that kind of helps me pivot into a question about Elon Musk and the Trump administration, because it's been kind of a prickly thing between the administration and candidate Trump and now President Trump and Silicon Valley, who has pretty much stood in opposition to almost everything that President Trump has pitched at us as a populace. Elon Musk, however, has a seat at the table, and I'm wondering what your take is on that. Is that a good business move? Is it a good personal move? Is it going to play well in the Valley, not well in the Valley? Where does this sit with you?
Well, I never saw this coming, because Elon, you know, he's a staunch fighter against global warming, and as we all know, Donald Trump thinks global warming is a hoax, or at least that's what he says, and you just on terms of politics, you never would have thought Elon and Donald Trump would be close together. But Peter Thiel is one of Trump's closest advisors, and he started PayPal with Elon many years ago and has kind of helped bring Elon to the table. And there is a degree to which this makes sense. I mean, Trump talks a lot about manufacturing jobs and building jobs in America. No one has done a better job of that over the last decade than Elon. He makes SpaceX's rockets in Los Angeles, Tesla's cars in Silicon Valley. He's got factories for the batteries in Nevada and for the solar panels in New York. And, you know, he's created 35,000 jobs, a lot of them manufacturing jobs. So if you're Trump and you're trying to find a guy to hold up as an example, this is the dude, right? He's modernized these industries. On the other hand, there's been a huge backlash. I mean, already we see people saying they've canceled their orders for the Model 3 for Tesla because Tesla's owners tend to lean liberal and green. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, there's been serious cost to this. I think for Elon, to be candid, it makes a lot of sense. He's been an underdog politically almost his entire business career, and now he has a direct line to the president. And if you're someone who wants to get to Mars, it would help to have the government get behind you.
There's an interesting dynamic here that I've been thinking about, and that is, if you think about politics, car dealership owners have huge political impact and power. In any kind of DMA, depending on the size of the city, doesn't really matter, because they have money and they have ties. And then you have Elon come in and totally disrupt that whole business model of the middleman, basically going directly to the customers. So for him to have a seat with the Trump administration must really get at some of these dealership owners. Am I overplaying that a little bit, or is this just happenstance that this is just the way the economy is going and he just happens to be at the front of it?
No, I think that's right. I mean, if you look at the history of Tesla and SpaceX, I mean, they have waged just an endless battle of wars against these incumbents that have really deep pockets, that have paid politicians both at the federal level and the state level. For Tesla, you know, they have these stores instead of dealerships in tons of states all around the country. They've had to fight a battle state by state to get their stores to be legal, because there's a rule that car companies cannot sell their cars direct that dates back about 100 years. It's crazy. And so, you know, whether it's that or it's electric vehicle credits, continuing benefits around solar, especially on the space side, like we were talking about, SpaceX does a ton of business with NASA and also now with the Air Force. You know, having the president on your side is a good deal. And it's just weird that it happens to be Trump, whose politics do not seem to match up with Elon, but both men are opportunists, and so they're kind of feeding off each other.
That was Ashley Vance, the best-selling author of Elon Musk, Tesla, SpaceX, and the Quest for a Fantastic Future. There's a new paperback edition out. Musk is at the forefront
of the commercial space flight industry, a fledgling industry that involves a couple of other billionaires as well, namely Amazon's Jeff Bezos and Virgin's Sir Richard Branson. SpaceX also announced recently that it was hauling two paying passengers to slingshot the moon and return to Earth after a week's trip into space. And according to our New York Times best-selling author, that's just the beginning.
We're going to go from launching every month to almost every day. It is without question that he opened up both of these worlds. We would not be talking about electric cars or new space without him.
We talk about space travel and Mr. Vance's other work on YouTube as he finds cool entrepreneurs from around the world to talk with. That's coming up next, so please stick around. I'm Jason Middleton, and you're listening to Techonomics.